Season 2 of Beyond Camp has arrived. After finishing our first season in what felt like record speed, we're excited to be sharing the first conversation of Season 2 with all of you. Sit back and relax today as we discuss our identities, what they mean to us, and how they shape us, and why we're so dedicated to taking so much time to talk and to learn alongside all of you. We certainly aren't experts, but we're here to get vulnerable, share some great resources, and continue the education. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Beyond Camp, a podcast for summer camp directors and leaders by Go Camp Pro. Beyond Camp explores the intersection of camp and the rest of our lives. Camp professionals know that all aspects of our lives affect our camp experience, and Beyond Camp is here to dive into the messy, brave, and joyous conversations that surround that fact. Check out our show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp.
Beyond Camp is brought to you by the American Camp Association, Illinois. Sending thousands of children from economically disadvantaged households to camp and providing intentional services and programs to today's diverse camp professionals is at the core of the American Camp Association, Illinois' mission. Learn more about upcoming programs by visiting acail.org.
Welcome to Beyond Camp, where we explore the intersection of camp in our lives. For too long, camp professionals have referred to camp as being in a bubble, and we are here to burst that bubble. We know that camp intersects with every aspect of our lives, and we're excited to delve into those. We are your hosts, Rachel Kent. My pronouns are she, her.
And I'm Cassie Bloy. My pronouns are also she, her.
We're here to go beyond camp with you. As a reminder, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you find your favorite podcasts, and be sure to check out the show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp. Now, let's get started. Today, we're catching up a bit and then diving deep into the topic of identities. The world identity is such a complex one, and we're hearing more and more about them in the media. From topics of race and gender identity to our identities as camp pros, they're all incredibly important and nuanced. We can't cover them all today, but we're excited to scratch the surface. But first, where are we so far now that we're starting season two? Cassie, where are you at these days?
You know, if we're talking about the pandemic, we talked about this the other day, and I just want to pull that get out of jail free card, but have it say go pass go, collect $200, and just stop at all the fun stops along the way and be able to do those things again that we can't do. And I think it's really stemming from the fact that this year there was so much that I had planned for myself and set goals for, and a lot of that has changed and shifted and been thrown upside down. And there's days it hit me the other day of yep, we're just sitting where I was before moving again.
Fair enough. I like that you just said, so we're talking about the pandemic. When are we not talking about the pandemic these days? I feel you on that. I feel like I hit a wall with pandemic fatigue the other day. As listeners usually know, I'm usually in Ontario, and I'm in Nova Scotia right now, doing my quarantine for 2 weeks that you have to do here, which I fully appreciate because they have one active case in this province. And it was hard. I was on Twitter and I had two tweets come up right after one another. The first was that there were over 300 new cases in Ontario, which was record breaking for us that day, for the last couple of months. And then right underneath was Nova Scotia saying no more or no new cases today for the last week or something. And I was it just threw me off. I was just man, this is not ending. And then I started Googling and I was could I buy a house out here? Could I rent an apartment for the winter? Maybe I just need to work remotely and hang out on the East Coast for a while. Anyways, I brought myself back to reality, and I will say I'm feeling pretty energized by work and the changing seasons as we start to head into fall here. I do enjoy that, and I feel like September has always been a time of energy and growth for me. I love the changing of seasons. So
it's interesting you say September, and I don't know if I've fully realized it that it's September yet. Mm-hmm. September is when I usually celebrate my new year of instead of celebrating New Year's in January, I'm okay, camp has ended and now it's time to start fresh. And this is my new year. And these are my clean slate. And these are the things I have planned for this upcoming year. And it's all muddled together.
Yeah, it's fascinating how September is often that time of restart. I mean, it is the Jewish New Year. Rosh Hashanah falls around this time, which always seems quite fitting. And so to our listeners who are celebrating, we hope that you have some wonderful time with friends and family during this challenging time. But yeah, I'm still, like, I'm enjoying the cooler weather now. It's been a nice change. The leaves are, like, slowly starting to change for us. And then you've started a job, and so when we were ending that first season, you were wrapping us up and giving us some insight into that. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I'm a month and a half into that new job now. It's outside of camp, so I had to learn some things that were a little bit different. And it is different, but what I'm really liking is that there's moments of similarity and that there's things that I can bring camp into what I'm doing now. And there's just so much more time for staff development and working with young people. My staff conveniently are the same age as what camp staff typically are. So I'm finding that crossover with them and finding a lot of similarities there. And that's really kind of keeping me going and giving me those little boosts and energy back.
That's phenomenal. I love that. We have rolled out our risk management protocols for the country, and our girls are getting back into activities, and it's been really fantastic following all of our protocols. And I've seen some great posts on Facebook about people being really excited about it. And it's re-energized me, like, okay, like, this work is worth it. And like, folks are excited, and it's giving folks some sense of normalcy in this challenging time. And it reminds me how much joy I take from kids having great moments outdoors and people interacting with kids outdoors, even if I'm not the one who's actually the one out there doing it, which has been fantastic. Well, it's been great to catch up and check in. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into season two, because we're taking a bit of a turn. We're still going to talk about the pandemic, I'm sure, because there's always lots to talk about with that. But let's talk about identities. And you are our research queen, I will say. You've always got the articles ready to go. So why don't you launch us off?
Yeah. So I started researching, and then I got like crazy overwhelmed and took like a whole break for a day, and then started again a couple hours before we're recording this right now and read some more. And there's so much, and there's so many different points of view and different ways we can take it. But the thing that really caught my eye is, like, how do we define identities, and where do they come from, and how do they establish themselves in us as humans? How do we choose them? How are they given to us? And it got me thinking about the concept of nature versus nurture, and what is innate and what is there from the get-go versus what do we pick up on as we are raised, and what do we gain from our families and our upbringing as well?
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that. I think we're going to dive into that a little bit later in this episode about what's assigned to us and what do we choose, because identities aren't always things that we choose. They don't always come easily to us either. When I think of identities, I think of like my lived experience, and I think of how our identities shape that lived experience, and how they give us different lenses to see the world, and they're really what shape our perception of the world. They give us like parameters. They almost like front load the world for us in a lot of ways, because we don't just develop identities when we turn 18 and become adults or whatever age we think of. Identities are something that we just like innately have. And often as we get older, we learn more about them and they become more nuanced and complex. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But they really impact the entire way that we interact with the world, which I think is fascinating. And this episode certainly isn't going to cover all of that or even begin to, but I'm really excited to start this conversation.
Yeah. As you say all that, I'm like, it's interesting to me. It's like our identities help us see the world in different ways. And that has me thinking which identity you're experiencing more at that moment shifts how you might be seeing a certain issue or experience that you're having.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think identities are so important for camp pros. Yes. And I think sometimes we know that. And I think sometimes we forget that, to be honest. I've forgotten that for sure. And I think it's important because we want to see our staff and campers as whole people. We don't want just like a little slice of them at camp. We don't just want their summer camp version. We often say to people, you can be like your best self at camp, or your most yourself. And that's what we often hear from our kids and staff, right? Is they'll be like, wow, I'm like my truest self when I'm at camp. Like, this is who I am is when I'm at camp. And imagine if we could talk about identities that gave people like the language. Like, let's help kids develop the language so they can talk about those identities. And then also, let's give folks the language and tools so that more people can really be living their best selves, their true selves at camp, so that all those identities are welcome.
Well, you're talking about like being your best self and your true self. And that makes me wonder, what do we do at camp that allows that to be the space for people to feel that and not be able to be that person when they're not at camp?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think camp is like a really fascinating space for that. And one of the things that I think of, and I mean, I come at it from the lens of an overnight camp director, is that we often live together. We're together mm-hmm. all the time. You don't get to put on one face for your staff and then go home at night and be like, oh my goodness, and just be like a different person. as much as you might want to sometimes, like our staff and our campers and ourselves, like we're living that 24/7 typically as overnight yeah. folks. And even for day camp folks, like you're spending a lot of intense time together. And we often talk about how camp relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, other relationships are really powerful because you spend so much time together and you're so vulnerable. And our identities matter because they're all part of those relationships.
Yeah, but then like I totally agree. And it's those relationships are it's like some of the best friendships I have that exist in my world. But I also see myself as like sometimes, you know, the work that I put into being a camp professional and that face I sometimes have to put on to be the quote unquote ideal camp pro who's excited and over the top and doing everything they can to be amazing at their job. And that's draining.
Interesting. I hadn't considered that even within camp, sometimes we create these identities and we're like, if you don't match this, you're actually maybe not welcome here in that community. I think that's really important. That's super powerful.
Yeah. And like that just got me thinking about like, so if our campers are seeing a bunch of people doing that, do they feel like they have to do that? And are they then getting to be who they truly are or who they want us to believe they are?
That's incredible. And that's so powerful. Let's put a pin in that and come back to that because I think before we go any further, I think it's really important to shape this conversation and future conversations that we have a little chat about how we identify and the privilege that we carry, because like we said, our identities really give us a lens for our world and shape the conversations and relationships that we have and the way that we see the world. And with that comes a lot of privilege. And so I think I feel really strongly that we have these conversations. So for me, some of my identities, and I mean, identity is nuanced, it's complex. There's many of them. We could spend a whole episode just on one person talking about their identities. So I'll name a few of them and then we can dive in more in the future. But for me, I identify as a queer person, a white person, a camp pro, a sister, a partner, CrossFit athlete, and outdoorsy are a few of mine.
Yeah, I looked at your list and I was like, it's almost fairly similar. Like I identify as female, as white, straight, as a professional, a sister, a daughter, an aunt, a leader, and a mentor.
These are all incredible identities. And each one of them is so deep and so complex. And so to acknowledge my privilege, a lot of my privilege, not all of it, I don't think I can capture it all here right now, comes from being white. And I'll own that. And yes, that's something that we're going to dive into in the future as well. But I will say that that a great deal of my privilege comes from being white. I'm also university educated. I'm financially stable and I have a supportive family and workplace, which affords me incredible amounts of privilege in my life.
Yeah, I align very closely with you. I also feel like I have privilege in the ability to be a mentor, to guide other people. I feel that fits in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Sorry, did I cut you off there? Were there other identities of fellow privilege?
Pretty much I felt like ours were the same.
Fair enough. And so those identities, and I want to highlight a couple of those again, is that we're both white and we're university educated. Really shapes how we see the world. And we acknowledge that privilege and we work really hard to check that privilege and to be aware of how that influences our conversations. And we welcome folks who have feedback about how we do that, because we're always aiming to do that in a better way. We talked earlier, Cassie, you mentioned some identities about being sort of whether we choose them or assigned to us. Did you want to elaborate a bit more on that?
Yeah, when I was thinking about it, I was like, what is, like, going back like to like your basic nature versus nurture, what's assigned genetically and what is due to the impacts of our environment that we're in? And I feel like there should be a third word now too, right? Like there's stuff that might not fit nature and there's identities that might not fit nurture either.
That's very true. When I think about it in terms of myself, I think of my assigned identities, the things that I can't do anything about, that I just like was born with, as being white and queer. And so one of those identities affords me a great deal of privilege and one less so. But then when I think of like the identities that I've chosen, being a camp pro, being a CrossFit athlete, being outdoorsy, those are all things that I could walk away from if I was so inclined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. Yeah, exactly. And I think that that fits in kind of like that nature nurture almost. But like, would you be, do you think if you had grown up in a different family that you would still be outdoorsy?
I don't know. Maybe not.
I know. I think about that all the time too. I'm like, huh, if I was grown up in a different family, would I actually have an appreciation of the outdoors? Or if I grew up in a big city as a small town person, would my view be different?
For sure. There's even a great amount of privilege that comes with the identity of like saying I'm outdoorsy, that I had, like, I got to go to camp in the summer, that I lived near wilderness. I was able to get outdoors. I had the equipment to do so. I had people who could teach me things. I was accepted in those environments. That carries a huge amount of privilege as well. Identities are just, they're so important to us. Even right there, we covered a huge variety of things and different facets of our life. And identities touch every part of us. When I think of them, like, they shape my entire worldview. So when we talk about being outdoorsy, you know, climate change is important to me, for example. So even when I like go to the store, that identity is on my mind of like, okay, am I going to buy something that has a lot of plastic, or am I going to choose a reusable or recyclable option, for example, just to break it down really small there.
Yeah, but it, like, that makes sense, right? I don't know if I've ever actually thought of that. I purposely don't put my fruit and veggies in plastic bags. I just chuck them in the basket and go. But never thought of that as, you know, maybe how I identify as outdoorsy and care about the environment.
It's interesting once you start to think about it, how these things play out for us. And I know there's also certain identities that I lean into at certain times more than others. There's certain spaces where I feel really strongly about my identity. So, for example, one of them is like being a camp pro. When I'm at a camp conference, you know, back in the day when we could gather in person, and we will again in the future, that identity of being a camp pro never felt stronger than when I was in a group surrounded by other camp pros. And I was proud of it. It was fantastic. Yeah. And in the days following, I would be so energized by that identity.
And feel so good about what I chose to do. And I wonder if that's because we're so supportive of each other and it's so hard to explain to people what we actually do as camp professionals.
Totally. And that brings me to the point of there are sometimes identities that we choose to hide more or, so I'll pause there. I'll get into that. The idea of being a camp pro sometimes has been hard for me to explain to my peers who are really, you know, let's say who are becoming medical doctors. And I feel like my life as a camp pro isn't enough. And that's something I've often struggled with, especially as a young camp professional, is that I'm not doing enough. You know, I'm still working seasonal jobs. I'm still doing part-time work. And I shouldn't say still, because it was all really important and we were impacting lives, but it was something I really wrestled with. And so sometimes if somebody was like, well, what do? I might change that, or I would tuck that identity away.
Yeah.
And I'm privileged.
I agree.
But I'm privileged to have that choice to hide it away. There's also identities that sometimes we feel we have to hide or we're oppressed for. And I feel that as a queer person, there are spaces that I enter into where I just don't share that freely, or I try to hide it, or I know that I won't be welcome in. And so that identity, that part of who I am, keeps me out of that space. And that's not the only identity that's impressed or that's oppressed. That's the identity that I can speak to, and it's important to me to not speak to other people's lived experience. So you will hear me talk about being queer throughout the rest of this episode and other episodes, because it's my lived experience and it's important to me to speak to that and not speak to others.
Excellent. Thank you for being so open and honest and sharing that with everyone.
Of course. Thank you. All right, we're going to pause right here for a break before we dive back in. So you might know that Cassie and I are big fans of the Women in Camp Summit. If you didn't know, well, now you do. It's where we first met, and we're still connected with so many of the folks we met there today. It's where we turn to for support, and it's also where we're finding many of our interview guests.
This year, we are thrilled to share that the Women in Camp Summit is going virtual for 2020. Save the date for December 2nd to 4th, where Women in Camp professionals from all over the world are invited to attend this international and empowering space for growth, support, and professional development, designed to meet the needs of today's Women Camp pros.
We are so grateful for ACA Illinois for their continued support of this incredible event. The Women in Camp community extends far beyond the walls of the summit. They hosted incredible events during the early days of quarantine for all of us. Even in their call for proposals for speakers, Women in Camp was encouraging new speakers, encouraging mentors, and offering free coaching supports to speakers who are feeling nervous. How incredible is that?
If anyone can pull off an incredible virtual summit, it is the Women in Camp and ACA Illinois team. We are certain that you will leave this event feeling supported, empowered, heard, valued, and ready to take on the world, whatever that world looks like in December.
Explore what the Women in Camp Summit has to offer at acail.org today. Alrighty, let's dive back into this great conversation. I'm really excited about where this is going. So we talked a lot about identities. Cass and I shared a little bit about ourselves because I feel like that's really important. And I think it's really important that we start to think about what identities our campers and staff bring to camp and how we see beyond maybe like the visible identities or the easily identifiable ones. When I think about this, I think about how might our programming and staff training differ if we had thought about identities. So let's start really simple. I used to work outdoor ed at a sports camp. And in the summer, their staff mostly identified as athletes because it was a sports camp. So part of pre-camp was they had this like massive staff baseball game. And it was a fantastic way for them to bond because all those folks identified as athletic. So they love sports. Sports was a point that brought them together. At my current camp, if we'd done that, it would have been fun. It would have been amusing. People would have been terrible baseball players, probably. But it wouldn't have offered the same results because it wasn't something that folks really strongly identified with. And as I was getting ready for this episode, I thought about like what a great example that is of finding something that connects your staff and a shared identity there.
Yeah, and that sounds very mission-driven as well, which is something I strongly believe camp staff training should do is, you know, drive home your mission and values so that your staff understand who they're working for and what their purpose is in this role. And, you know, my previous camp, one of our biggest values was community and that sense of belonging. And a lot of our staff training really revolved around that. But it also got me thinking about what are we missing and what aren't we seeing? And the invisible backpack concept. So thinking about, you know, those parts of our identities or parts of other people's identities that aren't visible, that they might not feel safe and comfortable in sharing. And how can we use the tools that we have to allow that sense of belonging and openness for people to share?
Yeah, and when we talk about that, just as you were saying that, I thought about you. I think we had both mentioned the identity of being a sister. And I was thinking about a homesick camper who's really upset because they miss their sister. And is it just that they miss home, or is it that they feel so strong in that identity of being a sister and maybe being a protector for a younger sibling that they're not there? And if we could talk about that and have the language talk about that in the staff training, how would that change our interaction with the camper? Seeing that they're like losing the sense of themselves that they don't have at camp because their sibling isn't there with them.
How can we create that sense of, for in this scenario, sisterhood, mm-hmm. in, you know, a female identifying group of campers.
Totally. I think it's neat. And so once we start to talk about like identities and why they're important, we can start to really like work them into just our day-to-day camp life.
Yeah. If I'm curious to know if there's anyone out there who's figured out how to help campers talk about their identity at camp and mm-hmm. to feel comfortable with that and how they're doing that. We'd like to talk to you about that.
Yeah, send us an email. We'd love to have you on the podcast. That would be fantastic. We talked earlier about identities and chosen and assigned. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes as camp directors, as camp pros, folks in leadership positions, we sometimes assign people identities. You and I were talking about the term of behavioral identities. I don't know if that's a scientific term or not, or if we've just made that up, but we'll roll with it for now.
We're going to roll with it because it's going to make sense.
So one of the things I'm sure folks have heard of is the self-fulfilling prophecy of calling a child a bully, is that when a child exhibits bullying behavior or picks on another child and we call them a bully and we say, you're bullying this person, you're a bully, that child is like, well, that's how you identify me as, so that must be who I am. And then we just create this person because we've given this identity, we've labeled that.
Yeah. I feel we're almost probably too good at labeling kids. And I think about like when we do camper evaluations and you read them the next year at camp and it says that this child was A, B, C, D, and they were extremely homesick and then at night and then during the day they caused a lot of problems and then a return in steps. Oh, like, oh yeah, I remember that kid. They were horrible. And all of a sudden that kid is set up to be that mm-hmm. same person and staff are expecting that same person and they're not looking forward to it. And they're just like, well, this sucks. Like we have this kid that we're going to have to deal with. We are already, you know, and like, what experience are we setting that child up for?
Mm-hmm.
And there was, it just doesn't seem fair.
There was one year my staff training, I spent a lot of time with my staff trying to remove the phrase bad kid or good kid from our vocabulary. I was like, there's no such thing as a bad kid or good kids. There's behaviors and things like that, but let's not place these labels on a child because we need to give them a clean slate when they come to camp. And on that note, there's a book I read recently called The Art of Possibility. I needed to read it for a course that I was in. And we'll drop the name and authors of that into the show notes. So be sure to check those out afterwards. And there was a section in the book called Giving Others an A. Or giving yourself an A. And it's the idea of when we work with others or when we are feeling challenged with ourselves that we give ourselves an A. So we start every day or start every week by giving ourselves an A, like the letter grade you maybe got back in elementary school. And it's the idea of like, how would you treat yourself or somebody else differently if you thought they were an A+ student? So start off by assuming the best, by thinking the best of that person and see how that shapes your experience. And I think when we talk about these behavioral identities, when we are assigning them to somebody, we often don't realize that we're doing that. It becomes a subconscious thing that we do. And we have incredible privilege as leaders, as Cassie mentioned earlier, like to mm-hmm. be a mentor is an incredible privilege. As camp pros, we hold incredible privilege. And we need to be really careful with that. And how could we use that privilege to give others an A, to say, hey, you're fantastic. And then if things change from there, they change from there. But we're giving everybody a clean start and a fresh slate when they come to camp every year.
I really like that. Like, but it's not a blank slate. Either, right? Like, I feel like sometimes when you talk about fresh slate, fresh starts and stuff, it's a blank page. But this time the page is already starting with something on it. And that something is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, you are a great person. You are amazing. Let's do this. Let's move forward.
Yeah, I love that. And honestly, how great would it be to walk into an environment where you just know that everybody's going to treat you that way? That would be incredible.
It would. And I feel like it would be so much more welcoming as well. And that it would be more open.
For sure. When we talk about being welcoming, and I'm going to speak from my identity as a queer person. And I understand that as a white queer person, I do carry an incredible amount of privilege. But right now I am going to speak as a queer person. And so when we talk about identities, people will be like, oh, like, you know, we welcome the 2SLGBTQ plus community here. You know, it's great. And I always say there's a difference between tolerating somebody and accepting somebody. So when we talk about acceptance, you know, for me, I can go into a place and I can be tolerated. It might mean that nobody asks me questions about myself. It might be that I can use the female bathroom and people might give me looks, but that's fine. People don't ask if I have a girlfriend or a partner. They just, like, they might make their assumptions. Nobody's outwardly rude or mean to me. But acceptance is like going into a place that has gender-neutral bathrooms. There's representation in the staff, in the people that are there. It's walking into a place and thinking, wow, this was made for me. Like, they wanted me here, so they created this space for me. And that is going to look different for every identity, and I can't speak to others' identity. And I don't want to because that's not my place. But for me as a queer person, it's a much different space to walk into when I see pronouns on name tags, when people are using the word partner, where I'm free to talk about my partner, and it's not assumed that I have a boyfriend, let's say. And I think that that's really fantastic. It's like, instead of just saying like, oh, welcome, it's like saying, hey, we threw this party to celebrate you. Come on in. And I think that's really cool. Yeah. Who doesn't love a good party?
A good party is great. And thank you for sharing that again. Like, it's an opportunity for me to learn as well. And it has me thinking about, like, where do we learn about identities that we don't identify with? Where are those places that we can look to learn more and to become more accepting and learn about acceptance of other identities?
And that's the thing, as camp pros, we have a lot of work to do. There's always more to be learned, more for us to dive into. And we don't need to be experts. It's okay for us to make mistakes and stumble and want to be better. The point is that we have to be striving for better. And I think that the camp community is. And for me, being able to talk about this is wonderful, and I'm afforded the ability to talk about my queer identity because I come from a place of privilege. I have the privilege of having a really supportive workplace, the privilege of Go Camp Pro wanting to host these conversations, of having a supportive family and partner. And so it's really important to me to have these conversations, and I'm willing to take on that emotional labor because I'm in that safe place. But we can't just go up to people and be like, hey, you identify differently from me. Tell me all about that. Because that's really draining. Having an argument with somebody about their identity is really, really challenging. It's really hard because you end up having to defend your like right to exist in a certain manner, and nobody should have to do that ever. So there are some like fantastic places that we can learn about these things that where folks have offered up the labor, and it's important that we recognize these places. And one of them that I want to give a huge shout out to, Go Camp Pro has been hosting a blog recently that Travis has created space for, and Leilani Nussman has been writing a weekly blog on racism, privilege, and summer camp. And it's been incredible. If you haven't followed along already, we'll drop the link in the show notes, but be sure to check it out. We're really grateful for Leilani and all of the work that she's put in there to help us all learn and to all be better.
Yeah, another piece or group of people that are doing some great work right now that I've found and has been, I think, shared quite avidly recently in the camp community is S'more Melanin and the work that they're doing, supported by their local chapter of ACA as well. And just sharing with blogs, getting involved with other camping groups, and being willing to hold those conversations and hold that space for groups of people.
Mm-hmm. For me, one of the places that I love to learn about how people are living their lives in different ways they identify is looking at how I consume social media. And we're going to do an entire episode later on where we really dive into social media and touch on that topic.
So excited.
Really, you know, and I'm a millennial, so I have to talk about social media, right? It's like my job or something like that. Millennial is a whole other identity we could dive into. I'll come back to that in a second because I have a thought on it. But I try to be cognizant of the types of materials that I'm taking in on social media. And that's not to say I don't follow like a whole bunch of memes and like other silly things, because that's lots of good fun and we need some levity in our lives these days. But being aware of, is everybody on your Instagram page or your Facebook page, Twitter feed, do they all look the exact same as you? Are they all sharing the same lived experience? Or have you found folks that have different identities, different opinions? Like, what an incredible way to communicate with folks. and to learn. I think that it's fantastic. Yeah. There's some great people out there who are doing some great work on identities, and we can drop a couple different social media links into the show notes after this.
You guys are going to be stocked full of links here for a while to learn about all kinds of people and identities and spaces to learn.
Yeah. So when I talked about millennials a moment ago, it was interesting. So in Ontario, millennials are getting a bad rap for being behind the rising numbers of cases of COVID. And, you know, because we're all out at the bars and we're partying, and that's leading to an uptick in cases. But what's really interesting is today on the news, a scientist who actually is herself a millennial actually did some research into why people are like being out and about and why they're leading to an increase in COVID numbers. And it had to do with the need to go to work, the need to go to school, the need to socialize. Mm-hmm. And it was all these things that like society required of them, that a lot of them were students. A lot of them were working, you know, retail jobs or in restaurants. So they had to go to work. So that was getting them out of their quarantine, obviously, and into society. And it made me think about how we have taken this identity of millennial, and we like didn't look any further than that. We were just like, yep, like this is the label, this is the problem, we've like identified it, now we can move on. Versus like, okay, but like what is it about this identity, this group of people that's like leading to this? Just a bit of a Rachel tangent there.
But you know, that same demographic was targeted here a couple weeks ago in BC as well. So, and it was the same population and increased rise in cases in a certain population group, and people were calling them out. The other problem I have with the millennial is anyone under a certain age is defined as a millennial now, yet they aren't always millennials when you look at young teenagers.
Yeah, it's a huge age range. I'm sure we'll talk about being millennials later on in the season, because there's lots to dive into there. I've opened a can of worms, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, we'll add that to our list. I'm going to write it down so that we don't forget.
Perfect. Thanks, Cassie. Mm-hmm. So all this to be said, we feel so strongly about the importance of talking about identities. We've just started this conversation here today, and I know we're going to continue it. And I think that we have to talk about it because we stand to lose a lot if we don't. These conversations aren't going to be easy. We say here that we're here to do the tough stuff, have the hard conversations, and to be vulnerable. If we don't have these conversations, we have to think about who we're going to be excluding. Think about all of those "I get to be myself at camp" moments. Think about all of those letters, those testimonials you get from folks who are like, you know, I got to be my true self when I was at camp. How powerful would it be if we could give more kids and more staff more of those moments? And I think it's possible. It's not beyond us. Camp pros are used to making, honestly, the impossible happen. But it's going to take hard work on all of our parts.
It is. It's going to be hard work, but the importance for the opportunity for people to be who they are, who they want to be, and just be.
You said that so well. I'm speechless for a second there. That's fantastic. I think there's an incredible future ahead of us to continue to have these conversations. And I'm grateful for folks who are willing to have these alongside of us. Next up, we're really excited to continue to talk about identities in all the different ways that they exist throughout this upcoming season, as well as hopefully at some virtual conferences coming to a Zoom screen or other platform near you shortly.
Yeah, we've submitted some really exciting proposals to a couple different events and some new ones that are coming up as well. And we can't wait to hear back and let you guys know what's coming up for us.
Yeah, so I will do a little bit of a plug for ourselves, because our great producer Matt always says you should always plug yourself, is if you have a place that you'd like us to be speaking or think we should be speaking, let us know. We'd be happy to hear from you.
Yes, definitely. So it is time for our recharge station, which we're putting a little spin on, because it's hard to come up with something every week to recharge yourself with. And we still believe that self-care is critical to personal wellness in the good times and the hard times. It's something that we all struggle with on a regular basis. But it's important to recharge our batteries and to feel inspired. So our tool to recharge yourself this week is we want you to find your favorite Nalgene and fill it up and drink away, preferably with water. And if you don't have a Nalgene or know what we're talking about, we're going to link one here because they're our favorite drinking tool for at camp.
Don't be like me who drove across several Canadian provinces after forgetting their Nalgene at home. It was very sad.
We want to take a moment to thank you for joining us beyond camp. We hope that you were able to connect and reflect with us as we journey beyond the property lines and bring a little of camp with us. As we wrap up, we want you to be able to reach out and connect with us. You can reach myself, Cassie, at cassie.bloy@stephanricard.ca. Rachel?
Folks are always free to email me at kentr@girlguides.ca.
Please remember to check out our show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp. We want to send a big thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us for season 2, to the GoCamp Pro team for allowing us to have our own stream for holding these conversations, and the continued support of ACA Illinois to help us keep going. And to our producer, Matt, who's going to listen to this for the first time very soon. Again, thank you for making us sound good. Beyond Camp is part of the GoCamp Pro podcast network. Be sure to check out all other podcasts at gocamp.pro/podcasts. Go well and safely, friends. We'll be with you here again in 2 weeks.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Beyond Camp is a part of GoCamp Pro and the GoCamp Pro Podcast Network. Find a podcast for camp professionals of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends.
Hey, Camp Pros. We love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, if you've gotten even one good idea from a GoCamp Pro podcast, masterclass, from the Summer Camp Professionals Group, a conference, or wherever else, we ask that you give credit where credit is due. That way, it'll encourage camp pros to keep freely sharing their ideas and make the camp industry as a whole better.